This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Nick Larson of Goal Boys will join us. We'll go over some Major League Baseball. I haven't spent a lot of time on baseball the last couple of weeks. It's been a lot of NBA, so we will jump back into baseball, keep our eye on things through the first month, awards, futures, get Nick's thoughts on everything. Nick is very good when it comes to baseball. Had him on before the season. Happy to have him on as we are a month into the season. And Friday, we will do some Derby. We're going to have Mike Somich on, so we'll do some Derby and do some more NBA playoffs. And NBA playoffs is where I'll start here with two potential elimination games here on Wednesday with the Rockets. And here's what's interesting. Rockets laying 4 at home to the Warriors and the Lakers laying 5.5 to the T-Wolves. So both teams down 3-1 are home. Both teams down 3-1 are favored. And these are different scenarios because usually the team that's up 3-1 is the better team, the higher seed. So I would give the Lakers more of a chance, and the odds certainly indicate that. Lakers plus 370 to come back and rally and win this series. The Rockets are north of 6-1, plus 620 to rally back and win this series. It just seems hard with the Rockets' offense or their lack of offense to be able to score enough to actually win 3 in a row, win one in Golden State. Although, you know, games 3 and 4 were close. They just couldn't get over the hump in either one. So I'm actually going to pick both these teams to extend the series. I like Rockets minus 4. I don't love the idea of laying points with a team who struggles to score, but I do think there are enough advantages in terms of the size. Remember now, this is every other day. They played Saturday, then they play Monday, and then they play Wednesday. The Warriors are an older team. You're asking a lot of Steph. The Rockets, for all of their flaws on offense, and they do have flaws, they're young and they've got a lot of depth. They've just got a lot of bodies they can throw at you. So we saw in game 2, the Rockets need to win. They won. They won comfortably. They basically led wire to wire. I would expect a similar effort here in game 5, especially with the every other day. The Lakers laying 5.5. I'm going to lay it with them too. First of all, maybe they're out of gas. Maybe they just played too many minutes, and maybe we see Minnesota storm in and steal the series, steal the game, and close this thing out. I would think, man, LA is going to get every call known to man in game 5, I would think. You know, Luka got tripped at the end of game 4. J.J. Redick was complaining about that in the in the post game, rightfully so. And look, they missed calls both ways. It's an NBA game. They're going to miss calls on both sides. So to just isolate that is not totally fair, but they did miss that call. Lakers are home. Lakers, you know, got the worst of the whistle in some spots in game 4. I do think there's some human nature that comes in with the team that has LeBron and Luka, and they're the glamour team. I do think they'll get a benefit of a whistle. Now, look, Minnesota come out and shoot, you know, 60% from 3, and you can give all the whistles you want to the Lakers. Sometimes the players are going to take over, but I do think if you're LeBron, you're Luka, you just put your head down, you go to the basket, and it's going to be a parade to the free throw line for the Lakers. So I would only look to lay in the 5.5. And part of me, it's rooting for these series to go 6. You know, the more games, the better. Hopefully we can get some 7 gamers here in this first round. But I will lay it with the Rockets, lay it with the Lakers. The first round has been good as we're recording this. The games for Tuesday are being played, so react to those accordingly for the Friday show as those series sort of wind down. We head towards the second round. I always think the second round is the best round. The second round is the best blend because the first round, it's a lot of volume. You get so many games. You get 4 games a day on Saturday and 4 on Sunday. It's just wall-to-wall basketball. Then by the time you get to the conference finals and finals, you don't even get a game every day. Maybe 1 a day or 1 every other day. Especially in the finals, you get 2 days off between games sometimes. The second round is the best blend of volume. It's the best blend of quality and quantity where the matchups are all good. All of the teams that don't belong have been eliminated. The series are competitive. The series are high level. So I would expect a really good second round. First round has been good. We'll see if it can finish strong here and we get some 7 games and go from there. But look, we've got some lower seeds trailing, or some lower seeds leading. I know Golden State was a favorite, Minnesota leading. So I think, you know, Denver Clippers Saturday was fun. All these games just got a lot of exciting endings. And I know people always get into this hockey versus the NBA. What's better? I know the hockey people are very quick to tell you how much better their sport is than everything else. Okay, well, it's just the nature of hockey. Games are going to be closer because the expected goals, like the over-under for goals in a hockey game is 5.5. So, okay, a game is going to be 3-2. It's just the nature of hockey. Hockey, first off, is more random. and it's lower scoring games, so there's not going to be as many blowouts. I know the hockey people can't wait to tell you once, you know, it's Cavs heat and the Cavs winning by 50 something points, which was embarrassing for Miami. They can't wait to tell you, oh, this never happens in the NHL. NHL is so much better. And look, there's some truth that NHL playoffs are great too, but just the nature of the sport, it's so much more random in hockey, and it's just more conducive to randomness. It's just lower scoring. You're going to get lower scoring games in hockey than you are in the NBA. When the totals are in the 220s and 230s in the NBA, as opposed to a total of five and a half in the NHL, yeah, it's going to be closer. In the sport where it's five and a half, there's just less scoring. It makes for closer games. It's not some deep flaw with the playoffs. And look, I've been very hard on the NBA in terms of the regular season. I think their regular season is basically a lost cause at this point, but they still have a good postseason. So we will talk more NBA on Friday, talk more Derby, maybe get some NHL picks from Mike Samich, who will join us. So great sports weekend. Great sports weekend coming up. Last weekend was fun with the draft. This weekend, the Derby, all the playoffs, all the baseball. And baseball is what we will talk next. Nick Larson, that is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast. You can catch him Gold Boys Discord, goldboys.com. It's our buddy. Talk a little baseball. Nick Larson. Nick, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Always good. We're a month into the season. We'll do a little big picture stuff, some awards, some games for Wednesday. I guess we'll just start with the fact that we're a month in. Do you feel differently now than you did about any of these teams when the season started?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was a couple when we did our first preseason thing that we were kind of targeting Padres and A's could be surprises, and they've looked good so far. A's better than expected. They've got some good young pieces on that team. So if they can continue to find maybe some more starting pitching, they could take another step forward. I mean, you have Miller at the back end of the bullpen. That's game over once you get to the ninth. Wilson's looked really good offensively for them. He's hitting like 360 or something like that. So I think those two for sure. Obviously, I mean, I figured the Mets would be a good team, but I didn't think they'd be this good. Right out of the gates, their starting pitching I think has been better than expected. Back into the bullpen, pretty good as well. Teams that I kind of surprised me, Orioles stick out. I thought they would be better than they have been. Definitely need some pitching, hitting against left-handed pitchers, struggling. Just that offense. I thought that lineup would be putting up a lot more runs than they have to start the year. So those Orioles probably the main one. And then, I mean, I'm honestly not worried, but I'm kind of shocked at the Dodgers. Like, I knew their rotation was going to be a mess with injuries and stuff and people in and out. Kind of surprised about Scott in the bullpen. He has not been as good as he has been the last 2 years. And then, I don't know, they're just – I think, like I said, I think they'll click eventually and go on a big run, but they haven't like blown me away out of the gate.
Yeah, I think one of the big themes is the National League is just so much better, so much deeper with right. good teams, where the American League, man, it's going to be hard to get to six playoff teams, where the National League, if the Braves are starting to bounce back, the Giants seem like they're for real, at least in terms of being a playoff threat. The Dodgers, the Padres, the Mets, the Phil. I mean, it's just so many good teams in the National League. That being said, how do you handicap the American League? Do you see a sleeper? Do you think eventually maybe the Red Sox pop up and, you know, make a run? The Yankees have been the short shot for a while, but they certainly have their flaws. How do you handicap this American League?
Yeah, I was actually looking at the Red Sox. I like the Red Sox. I like Crochet. I like their lineup. I was looking at them, and then I know the Mariners. I don't know what they are right now, but I do like the Mariners. It'd be nice to get one more arm in that rotation. Pretty good lineup, good back end of the bullpen. I do like you said, the Yankees, short shot for sure. It's like you said, the American League is so much different than the National League right now. The National League is just loaded, and the American League has your couple teams that stand out. But, yeah, obviously the Yankees, and then I would say two sleeper teams. And Mariners aren't really a sleeper right now in first place, but Mariners and Red Sox.
American League, the Yankees plus 350. Tigers who have played very well, 5-1. Rangers, Mariners, and Astros all around that 750 to 8-1 range. Red Sox also plus 850. Then there's a drop-off where you go Orioles 16-1, Twins, Guardians, Royals. Blue Jays are 25-1. Blue Jays are not terrible. Any of those, if I gave you a $300 bet on anybody, what would you put it on?
Blue Jays, just based on the odds.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy.
Definitely. They've got the lineup. I mean, I don't know, their rotation. You've got Berrios, Gausman, Francis.
Bassett's pretty good.
Bassett, yeah.
Scherzer for the three starts he'll give them. When
exactly. So, I mean, kind of a veteran team too, so veteran rotation.
What any awards? I know we talked before the season about awards. So you know what? We'll wait till the season starts. We found good numbers that way. It's now 50-1 a couple years ago. You might have even gotten a better number than that. That being said, I don't see anything great where I'm just dying to bet it yet. Judge is already -600 MVP. Otani's +280 for MVP. You know, American League Rookie of the Year, Jack Wilson's the short shot +125, who's really good.
Yeah,
NL a little more wide open. Sasaki and Dylan Cruz right around 2-1. Does anything trigger a bet, or is it still wait and see?
I got a couple that I'm looking at. I'm not going to pull the trigger yet, but I have a couple on my watch list that are like super long shots. But if some books maybe give you a cash out and throw a little on these, and maybe the odds improve here in the next couple of weeks, if you want to take a cash out or something, all of them are actually NL bets. So I was looking at this. I mean, once again, these are some crazy odds. Crazy guys is why they're crazy odds. But Canning from the Mets is +25,000 for Cy Young. He's 4-1 with a 2 ERA. I don't know how long he can keep that up, but that's crazy odds. Fat from Arizona +10,000. He's 5-1 right now, low 2 ERA. And then Jose Quintana from the Brewers, I couldn't stand it when they signed him. He is +10,000 also. He is 4-0 with a ERA around a 1, faces the White Sox tonight. So if he goes to 5-0, that I have a feeling that those odds drop quite a bit. And he's also ran through some pretty good teams with these wins, which is – I was shocked with how well he's pitched. But +10,000, so he has the same odds as Mitchell Parker from the Nationals. So that just doesn't match up, I don't think.
And what are you talking about when you do these? How do you money manage? Like 10th of a unit, less, more?
Yeah, probably 10th of a unit. Then, I mean, like I said, I don't see these three guys winning the Cy Young, but I feel like the odds are way too high for what could happen.
Anything on the Wednesday card jump out to you?
There's a money line parlay I like. Rangers have Eovaldi going. Throw them in. Braves have Sale. Throw them in against the Rockies, who they're a whole other conversation we could talk about. Padres have King. And then I believe the Dodgers have Gonsolin going tomorrow. So those four parlayed are around +440, I believe. Like all the starters, like all the teams, going to ride with that.
What have been your go-to markets here a month into the season? I know you like to bet specific at bats, specific pitches. What is your betting been like? Anything caught you off guard? Anything you need to tinker with? How's it gone for you this first month?
Well, we talked in the first one about the live strikeout stuff. That has been crazy good. Up like I'm betting 0.2 units per guy. So you'll get three batters, 0.2 unit on each. So 0.6 per inning of a relief pitcher that comes in, up about 30 units so far this year, just on the live K stuff. Obviously Mason Miller, huge guy for that. If you're getting odds in like the +260 per guy or +300 for Mason Miller, he has a 54% K rate right now, which is absurd, but they're still giving out those odds. Had a big one 2 days ago with Leiter from the Yankees against the Blue Jays. They had three guys that were +500, +650, +750. He struck out the side. So just markets like that. And like you said, the first pitches, I don't know if someone out there knows where to find this and can save me a lot of time, please let me know. But there's certain sites that you can find first pitch swing rate. It doesn't necessarily take into effect when in the game. Some places do have like when they lead off an inning for their swing rate, but I've literally tracked every first pitch for leadoff hitters this year. So I have a spreadsheet that say Jonathan Indian or India, how many times he swung at the first pitch while leading off the game. So I have a list of all those guys. And then there's certain guys off of that, I mean, there's like when Michael Harris for the Braves leads off, he swings at about 67% of the first pitches. So if I see that and the odds are usually in play out, single or extra base, usually the single and extra base are around plus 3,000. In play out is plus 800 to plus 1,000. So picking my spots on those has been really good so far too, playing guys that swing over 50% at the first pitch of the game.
How bad are the Rockies? Is this the situation? Their updated season win total 45.5
under.
I agree under. Is this something where you have to figure out a way to fade them every day, either team total for their opponent, their team total under? How do you get
I was thinking before jumping on here, if you're the Rockies or you're the White Sox, like what are you building on? Like who do the Rockies have that you're like, well, at least we have these pieces going forward?
Wouldn't really be anybody on the major league team. I know Dollinger's a prospect. The Rockies like a pitcher who's been up, kind of up and down here. It hasn't been terrible. If you're the White Sox, the fact that, I don't know, Hagen Smith, I know is a prospect, but
I mean, it's rough, like to be that bad and to have not, like, it's not like you have a bright future going forward. I don't know, man. It's tough. Like, maybe they make some moves and can dump some people, but yeah, I see the Rockies well under that number.
What number would you, if you had to guess right now, how many wins?
I think they're worse than the White Sox last year. White Sox had 41 last year. I think they are in 38, 39 range.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, that they're so bad.
They can't hit and they can't pitch, which in baseball is a problem.
Very,
it's a bad combination.
And they play in a park where if the other team can hit, you're in even more trouble.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the Yankees?
I mean, they've got some holes. They've certainly got some holes in the rotation. They've got some dead spots in the lineup. The fact that they have Judge playing at this level, you just don't need that much around them. Freed's been good. They've got some good arms in the bullpen with Weaver and Cruz. If they could ever get Devin Williams straightened out, they at least have that where you can build around the back of the bullpen. I don't look at them as a title contender, but I guess in the American League, you get in the playoffs and you know, you look up and they're in the ALCS. I guess you couldn't be shocked and then you just hope the ball bounces your way. So they're not a finished product. I mean, look, they're going to need heel back. They don't have a lot of pitching, but they've been about what I expect, I think. Goldschmidt's given them something. They've been about what I expect. What do you make, as you're a Brewers guy, what do you make of them? And can Devin Williams, like, did the Alonzo homer, do you think that broke him? Is he going to be okay? What are you seeing with him?
He was my favorite pitcher to watch on the Brewers, and I was so mad when they traded him. And then I was looking into some stuff today on him, and his fastball last year, I don't know if it was just last year or up until this season, batters hit 111 off his fastball. They're hitting 462 off it this year. His changeup, which was arguably probably the best pitch in baseball, batters hit 097. They're hitting 273 off it. So he's tipping pitches because they are not fooled anymore on these pitches. No. And they couldn't hit his changeup when they knew it was coming before. Now they're smashing everything. And he's getting behind guys. He's walked a ton of guys, which gets him into trouble, and then he gives up a hit. He's looked really bad, but like you said, they're at least fortunate enough to have Leiter, Cruz, Weaver, three solid guys. So if he needs to figure some stuff out in the seventh or eighth inning until he can get back to that dominant stuff. But I mean, to me, it screams that he's either tipping pitches or something's going on.
Yeah, and he pitched Monday night in a low-leverage situation. They were down 4-3, and he looked about as good as I've seen him since he joined the Yankees. Got a bunch of swings and misses, had that Bugs Bunny changeup going. So maybe you ease him back in that role. The problem is it's like a kicker in football. It's just there's no – you can't baby these guys. He's either going to have to do it or not, and eventually, like, do you trust him at the end of the day in a one-run game? It's going to be hard to ease him back in there. And even if you use him seventh inning, eighth inning with a one-run lead, you're going to have to get people out regardless, but – I don't know. And if he is tipping pitches, which I know there was some evidence he was last year against the Mets when he had that rough outing in the playoffs, they're going to lay off the changeup. And then when they lay off the changeup, that's
Right.
You know, that's a ball that's in the dirt. That's usually you're getting a strike on. Now it's a ball. Now you're in a bad count. It's just if they know the pitches, I know the stuff is really good, but if they know the pitches, man, you're going to get hit.
Exactly what you said, because he's so used to getting swing and misses on that pitch. If you're then you're just hitting his fastball, and like I said, they're hitting almost 500 on his fastball. So if you just eliminate the changeup, he's forces him to throw that changeup for a strike to bring it up in the zone, and not getting the swing and misses like he normally does. Then he gets behind guys, and he just creates all sorts of trouble. And then, like you said too, it's like you're not pitching for the Rockies here. It's like they have other guys. Like they need to win games, or they got to go to them at some point. So, like you said, how long do you hold on to that role before it becomes an issue?
Any starting pitchers that day to day you think are overrated, underrated that you're looking to either play against, pretty regularly?
Yeah, I forgot to bring it up earlier, but another market that I've played a lot and had success with is walks, pitcher walks, either the over, under. You can do the alts on DraftKings as well. So, like looking at guys like Matthew Liberatore, Eovaldi, Skeens, and Joe Ryan, those guys all walk like one guy for 9 innings. So I'll parlay there under 1.5, all four of those, and it's usually around like +750 to +1,000, and those have been pretty good too. And then just doing the reverse with the guys like Grant Holmes, Robbie Ray, Kikuchi, Jonathan Cannon, who all walk 5 to 6 per 9 innings, and playing 2+ on all those guys. So that's one way I've kind of been fading and playing starting pitching. It's gotten so hard with books and strikeout props and strikeout ladders. They've kind of nuked the odds on laddering strikeouts. So I've kind of pivoted away from that and gone more into the walks. So just trying to find markets where the books haven't completely caught on yet.
The Dodgers, you mentioned them earlier. Do you, not that they're overrated, but you lose Snell, you lose Glasnow. This was the concern. Now they've got reinforcements in Gonsolin and Kershaw, and Dustin May looks like he's finally healthy, at least, for a month, which is, pretty much all you can ask so far from him. Where do you stand with the Dodgers? They're going to be fine. Maybe they're a little overrated. They haven't hit great, but where do you stand here with LA?
I think a little bit overrated. I knew this was going to be everyone said how they had all these, they've got 10 starters or blah, 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 whatever going into the season. But all it takes is a couple injuries, a couple guys underperforming. What are you going to get a whole season out of Sasaki? How's he going to look? I mean, I think Yamamoto is going to be fine. But yeah, you lose Snell, Glasnow, now that's two aces right there. They're going to need that lineup to start mashing like they should. I think they'll figure it out, but like I said earlier, I'm a little underwhelmed by how they've started so far. It's offense and bullpen.
Last one, NFL. Any draft thoughts, draft takes? They've already posted these offensive rookie or defensive rookie or player props. They're quick to take your money, especially when they can tie it up for a long time, if not forever. What are your thoughts on the draft? Any winners, losers? Take it whatever direction you want.
I don't know. I'm a huge, like, we can go back, what was it, 2 years ago when we both were on Travis Hunter Heisman bet at some crazy
Oh,
odds,
yes.
and we were just 1 year off with that. I love Travis Hunter. I think he's going to be fun to watch in Jacksonville, whatever they do with him there. Hopefully he can play both ways a little bit, just be fun to watch. I don't know. It was just so dominated by the Shedeur Sanders thing. It was just kind of, I don't know, unfortunate in a way. It just, I don't know, it kind of ruined just the media coverage and everything else, just kind of ruined the draft aspect of everything. I'm a Seahawks fan, so interesting what they do with Milroe going forward there. I guess that's their next in line guy. Did Pete Carroll get his new Marshawn Lynch? I don't know. We'll see. Running back going that high in the draft. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, I thought going in there just wasn't a lot of juice as much as usual because it wasn't a year where we're loaded with quarterbacks. There weren't a lot of receivers. I mean, the general public, most fans like guys that touch the ball. I mean, offensive linemen, defensive linemen. It doesn't really do it for people. And it was hard to bet up until the last week. So I thought, I mean, it's always fun, but these books are just willing to book it less and less. And you know what? This is a year where they probably regret not booking it because it wasn't that predictable. And especially with that Genty trade or the Hunter trade, I should say. People thought the Jags were going to take him at 5. They move up to trade Hunter, and that to draft Hunter, and that really kind of threw everything off.
Right. That Cleveland. What are your thoughts on Cleveland with the two rookie quarterbacks, two rookie quarterbacks, Kenny Pickett? I mean, if you could do like a reality show with.
Hopefully they'll be on Hard Knocks. That would be my hope. Great Hard Knocks.
Do you keep the two young guys and hope one of them's good, or what do you do?
You know, it's like you said with the Dodgers with pitchers. Usually this stuff kind of works itself out where either somebody gets hurt or somebody gets traded or whatever. The short answer is I have no idea. Shador at least went to a place where it's reasonable that he can play somewhat soon. I know they have odds on this at DraftKings. Pickett's odds on to be the starter. I would think Flacco's got a shot because of his experience to know the playbook. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter because none of them, I wouldn't think, are going to be any good. I would think Shador gets a chance to play at some point, and we'll see what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd want to be a pass catcher there to start the season, but
yeah, for sure.
I guess we'll see what happens with that.
Nick, this was awesome, man. Appreciate it. Let everyone know they can find you.
At Nick Larson, NICLARSONGB on X. And I usually have a cheat sheet up there every day for a couple different categories, and then I'll have a free play up there every day.
Nick, appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
As always, love it.
All right. Good talking baseball with Nick Larson. Go to goldboys.com, Gold Boys Discord. Check our stuff out there. Rate, review, subscribe. See you Friday.